Thank you. All right. I think I turned this thing on. Is it? Yeah. Check. You got me? No? Hey, there it is. All right. How about now? That's good, huh? Good to see everybody. Good morning. I had the pleasure of meeting a lot of you last time. We were here with my wife. She's preaching at home today. And then so many of you that we've got to interact with at youth camp, and so it's been just a great, great friendship, new friendship. I love the enthusiasm, man. That's awesome. Come on. I love it. It's good. I'll be looking at you when I need some feedback. If they're quiet, I'm going to look at you. There you go. All right, so if you're down in Mesa, you know, come visit us. And then I love how much you guys love to worship and stuff. So we have a worship night the second Friday of every month. So if you're ever down there, you know, on a Friday night, it's the second Friday of the month, come to our worship night. We go 7 to 9, you know, and you could just join us for worship down there. So anyways, we are blessed. God is so good. You know, sickness has no power over us. The enemy has no power over us. He's been defeated, right? The Bible says he's under our feet. And all power and dominion has been given to Jesus, and then he gave it to us, right? Therefore, the enemy has zero power, right? All we're called to do is resist the enemy, and he will flee. Resist the devil, and he will flee, right? So that means stand our ground on the word of God, like, you know, just like a linebacker, like a good football player, which I know nothing about because I grew up playing soccer and basketball. Because I'm from Mexico City originally, if you didn't know that, I am fully Mexican. There's a fun fact about me that you didn't know, right? And you would never know that. But, so we stand our ground, we resist the enemy, and he flees, right? We stand on the word of God, and he has to go. He can't stay, and that's with everything in our life, with temptation, with whatever weaknesses we're dealing with or whatever. We just stand our ground, and he has to flee. You know, and I'll just, before we pray for healing, Pastor asked me to do this before service, so I want to give you a really good picture. My father-in-law, he's a powerful man of God. He's a pastor in the valley as well. He had COVID last year. He got hit with COVID. My mother-in-law said she got it too, and she said one of the worst symptoms was hopelessness. And, and it's true with so many people, when you've given something such a big name and such a fame, you know, and then it hits you, you're like, you know, I got it. And, truly, we just need to remember that it has no power over us and it must flee. So he was like on his first day of symptoms really bad. And he stood on the word. He even went to the gym the next day. And he says, at one point he heard the voice of the devil, or the voice of a demon say, "You're a terrible host," and immediately all the symptoms left. You know? And I think of it that way, like, we host the Holy Spirit, right? And we want to be good hosts of the Holy Spirit, right, who lives inside of us, you know, and be in communion with him. But the same way, when sickness or pain tries to come on us, we need to also think about it that way, that we need to become the worst hosts to that spirit of sickness or that infirmity or whatever it is, that to the point that it would be saying that I don't even feel comfortable in this body, I have to go. I have to leave. Like, I'm not being treated well. And if you think about it, you'd be like, that might sound a little silly, but how many times do we or other people do the opposite? And we almost cuddle it. Oh, it's my sickness, my diabetes. I got to watch it. I got to take care of it. You know, this is my arthritis. This is my, and you've made it yours. You've made it part, and you're being a good host to it. So we need to just get angry at those, you know, at sickness and pain and viruses and all that stuff, and just know, like, it has no authority over us. It was crucified on the cross, and we're going to be the worst hosts possible to any kind of pain and sickness that it comes, to the point that it'd be screaming, "Get me out of this body. I can't be here. They're not receiving me." Why? Because you're resisting, right? You're resisting. You're standing on the word. You're throwing everything you have at it. We're not backing down. We're not bowing out. We're not saying, okay, fine, I'll just have it, and as long as it goes. No. We stand our ground. We receive what it was given to us, and then we see it flee, and we'll do that. So let's just stand up real quick and just close your eyes, and I want you to think with me. If there's anybody sick here, please just raise your hand if you're sick or if you have pain. You know, it doesn't have to be COVID. It could be whatever it is. Okay, so keep your hand up, and I'm going to ask everybody who is not dealing with any sickness or pain to please go and respectfully ask them if it's okay to lay your hand on their shoulder. And just let's just find somebody right now that has their hand up, okay? Go find someone and just lay your hand on them, okay? Don't let there be anybody that has their hand up without somebody praying over them, okay? So if you're thinking, oh my goodness, I didn't pray this morning, I didn't read my Bible, or I sinned last night or whatever and God can't use me, that's the devil, that's a lie, because God doesn't use you based on your ability, He uses you based on His ability, okay? I'm not saying like live a life full of sin, that's not what I'm saying, but what I'm saying is God can use us if we believe and we stand in faith, you know, and we stand on His word, because it's based on what He did, not what we do, right? And so, you know, right now, even as you're just laying your hands on them, you know, if there's symptoms, they're going to start leaving. If there's pain, it's going to start leaving. And I also want you to think about those that aren't here today that you know are sick, okay? Because the Word of God says that He sent the Word and healed them. That means long-distance wireless 5G healing, right? Better than that, you know, satellite healing. Like, this is heaven's satellites, you know? And so if you know of somebody right now, as we're praying and we're taking authority over sickness and pain, you know, just send the word and call them by name. Say, you know, whatever the name is, you know, command your body to be healed. So right now, let's just pray. Father God, we thank You for what Jesus did on the cross. We thank You that You paid for us to be healed and to live pain-free lives and sickness-free lives, God. And right now we say we are going to become the worst host for pain and sickness that pain and sickness has ever, ever encountered. So in the name of Jesus right now, we speak to this sickness, we speak to pain, we speak to spirit of infirmity, we speak to viruses in the name of Jesus, and we command you, go in Jesus' name. You cannot be here, you cannot stay here right now. And so we thank You that as we lay hands right now, people are receiving healing in their body from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. We command them whole. Whole, nothing missing, nothing broken, in Jesus' name, complete. And in the name of Jesus, we also send Your word to those that are not here right now. And we command healing where they're at, whether they're at home, whether they're in bed, whether they're in the hospital, wherever they're at. And we just see Your word going right now, God, and Your angels, Your ministering spirits going right now and healing their bodies right now. We just thank You, God, that as it was in Your word, that it happened in the same hour that the church was praying, that people got healed and set free in different places. We thank You that at the same way, right now, people are getting healed. Symptoms are leaving. In the name of Jesus, pain is gone. I thank You, God, even sickness from years ago right now, even those things that some people were not realize, wow, I've really, really received this as part of me and who I am. Right now, we just break it off of their identity in the name of Jesus. We say arthritis, diabetes, in the name of Jesus. Heart conditions right now are being healed in Jesus' name. Chronic pain that has been there for years. I feel like there's somebody here that's had chronic pain in the lower back for like a long time, and you just kind of, you've like learned how to cope with it and live with it. So right now, just speak to that pain. Say, pain, you're not welcome here anymore. You must leave right now. This is Jesus' body. This is a temple of the Holy Spirit. You're not allowed to stay here. In Jesus' name, I resist you, and you must flee. In Jesus' name, we thank You, God, for healing. We thank You. It is Your will to heal right now. We thank You. We praise You, and we give You all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Is anybody, just raise your hand if you received prayer and you felt something. Like you felt something. Come on, you guys felt something right there? Something back there, back there, back there, back there. Now, how many of you, like, could say like there was a difference, like I had pain or something and now it's gone. Anybody here? Anybody? Oh, come on. Thank you, Jesus. Right there. Right there. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, give Jesus praise. He's good. God is so good, man. He's so good. Woo. Wow. That's a good way to start, right? I'm going to ask you a favor. Tell your testimony. So when you go and you hear, like, oh my gosh, yes, I'm better. I got healed. Pain left. Symptoms left. Go and tell Pastor Chad and Gina, please. We love testimonies. The Bible says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. You know, by your testimony, other people are gathering new experiences that can overwrite their past bad experiences and get them to change their way of thinking. And that's kind of a big subject, but that's the principle. We have had bad experiences in the past that are running in our subconscious, and many times they're telling us, oh, that's what's going to happen. Oh, that never happens to me. Oh, that only happens to other people. What the Bible says is, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony that we overcome. So yes, our testimonies, but when you start collecting people's testimonies, especially people that are in your community that are close to you, they become your testimonies as well to give you a new experience of things that maybe in the past weren't too good for you, but now you're like, hey, if God did it for Pastor Chad, he'll do it for me. If God did it for Richie, he'll do it for me. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what people do all the time. They gather evidence. They're always gathering evidence. You watch the news and you're gathering a ton of evidence. There's all these cases. There's all this stuff. There's this many people going through that stuff. What is it? It's evidence that is going to work against you, that is going to be telling you, well, that's going to happen to you too, right? But what we're supposed to do is gather evidence from here and evidence from testimonies, because that is how we overcome. Amen? All right, so before I get into the teaching that I have for today, I want to just remind you a couple of things that when my wife was here, she talked about something super important, which is honor. How many of you were here for that? A few of you? Okay, that's great. In our church, we always say we're building a culture of honor. And what that looks like, a culture of honor, is when the majority is practicing honor. Honor feels like love, okay? And so, three things I want to remind you, because it's something you build. You know, you have to think about it this way. Church isn't finished. Church is under construction. You know, that's what I tell our church too, you know, especially new visitors. I'm like, hey, listen, if it's your first time here, I want to tell you something. This place is under construction. We're building it. And if you decide to become a part of it, welcome the construction crew, you know, because it isn't finished and it certainly isn't perfect. If my church was perfect, I would have ruined it the moment I walked in. So, you know, we all have flaws, but culture of honor, you know, which feels like love overcomes a multitude of sin and offenses and imperfections. And so when you're building a culture of honor, you have to know and be reminded of these things all the time. So I'll give you three quick things just to reiterate what my wife spoke about, so you just remind yourself. Because remember, faith comes by hearing the word of God. So it's a hearing, it's a constant hearing, right, that really renews our mind and puts new mindsets and new beliefs in that washes away the old. And so the first one is that I honor because I'm a person of honor. A lot of times we think honor is something somebody has to earn, but it's not true. Honor is something that we choose to give because we are people of honor. The grace of God comes to all of us who receive it, right? No conditions. That's what it means. His love for us is unconditional. So therefore, when we're operating under grace, a lot of these things are become unconditional. In other words, we give them because of who we are, not because of what they deserve. Just as the grace of God is given to us because of who he is, not because of what we deserve. Okay? And so, honor is something I choose to give. Say with me, honor is something I choose to give. Okay? Because a lot of times, either I don't give it to you because you don't deserve it, or I'm going to demand it from you and you're going to honor me. And that's not healthy, and that's not how it works. Okay, so I honor because I am honorable, not because the person deserves it or doesn't deserve it. You know, and obviously my wife talked a lot about, you know, people and how they're created by God. Honor is the currency of heaven. Okay, if you think about it really quickly, the Bible says, honor your mother and father, and your days will be long, right? So honor equals long life. Honor equals life. Okay? So we exchange honor and we receive life. The Bible says, honor the prophet in the prophet's name and you'll receive the prophet's reward, right? So when you give honor, you receive the reward of the gifting in their lives. Jesus says that he could do no miracles in his own hometown because they dishonored him. They treated him as common, right? Remember, dishonor is just to treat as common. And so therefore, Jesus couldn't do any miracles. They could not receive from the gift in Jesus because they didn't honor him. Okay? And so honor is the currency of heaven. When you learn how to honor one another, you receive from the gift that is inside of them. Oh, but he doesn't honor me. Well, that doesn't matter. I just told you that you give honor because you're a person of honor, right? So when you honor your pastors, you receive from the gift of God that he has put inside of them, right? When you honor your spouse, when you honor other people, you receive from what God has put inside of them. Honor chooses to see beyond the imperfections, right? Honor chooses to see people how God sees them. It's really hard to honor this person. You got to see him how God sees him, not how you see him, through their stuff. All right? And so that's why it's impossible to prophesy God's way or in a healthy way without honor. Because you have to be able to see people how God sees them. It's easy to see the junk in people's life, but to see the gold in there, you need God's perspective. Okay, I hope you're taking notes. And then here's the last thing. Familiarity kills honor, okay? Familiarity kills honor. That's exactly what happened to Jesus, okay? They said, oh, that's just Jesus, the son of the carpenter. His sister and his brothers, you know, like the one you go to school with and the one that works at the gas station and like, yeah, it's just Jesus. What was that? That's dishonor, because dishonor is to treat as common. So Jesus was dishonored, right, because of familiarity. So I'm gonna tell you something that is really gonna help you for the rest of your life right now. We choose to honor people. We choose to honor our leaders. We choose to honor our pastors because we're people of honor. And the reward is that we will always receive life. A lot of times I hear people say, oh, I don't get fed in that church anymore. And what really is happening is they no longer honor their leaders. When you stop honoring, you stop receiving from the gift that was put inside of them. Right? And familiarity will kill honor because a lot of times people get close to the pastors, right? And they develop friendship with the pastors. And that is good as long as you don't stop honoring. And you might have seen this before if you've been in different circles, okay, where pastors or leaders are very detached from people and there's a lot of distance between them and people. Does anybody know what I'm talking about, right? And the reason why, it's because familiarity kills honor. So therefore, wrongly, they choose to separate from people in a way demanding honor, okay? And so they separate and they distance themselves to keep that. Now, I don't believe that's the way to do it. I believe Jesus' way is the way to do it. Jesus stayed close to people always. He let people close always. Everyone. The new ones, the old ones, the children, the sinners. Everyone was able to go close to Jesus, right? And as long as they kept honoring, they kept receiving from him. Those that couldn't receive from him anymore were those that dishonored. So the ball is put back in our court to say, I choose to honor, right? And I'm thankful that I have pastors that are at reach. Are you following me? Because when you get close to leaders or pastors, guess what? Hopefully they're real people and genuine, which I know they are. You're going to see some imperfections. And if we see with our fleshy eyes, it'll cause us to dishonor. And it'll disconnect our hearts from receiving from them. Do you see how we choose to keep both? It's on us. I when I learned this many years ago, I'm like, okay, I don't care what happens. I choose to be the one that stays close to people. So in other words, I'm not going to manipulate you with bodyguards and distance and people so that you honor me. No, that's on you. I want to stay close to people. Are you with me? So it'll help you guard your heart. It'll help you keep your heart. It'll help you keep an attitude and a culture of honor here. You know that, yes, we can be friends. I can be close to you. You know, like Jesus, you know, he laid his head on Jesus' chest. Like, they're close, but he didn't lose honor for him. Amen? All right. So, I tell you that because my wife taught on honor a few weeks ago, and I think it's important that we apply it, okay? And I say this all the time at church. If you don't use it, you lose it. Say with me, use it or lose it. It's like a coupon. That's actually not a good way to talk about the Word of God. But here's what I mean. When you receive a revelation, you know, and you go, aha, and like the light bulb turns on and like a thousand things just like fall into peace and they just go, now I understand all this stuff, right? This happened to everybody, right? You receive new revelation and new information and it goes, boom. Guess what? Your brain releases protein to solidify what you just learned and to make it yours. But if you don't put action to it, which James talks about, faith without works is dead, right? If you put no action to what you just learned, if you don't put an application within about 24 hours, it just evaporates. It's gone. Isn't that crazy? I'm sorry for if you're like, oh my gosh, I just realized why 10 years of learning did nothing, right? But the good news is that, you know, if now you know what to do, you know, that seed will produce 30, 60, and 100 fold in your life, and you'll grow real fast in the Lord. So, but that's really interesting. So if you don't, I mean, and that's straight out of the Bible. This is just a scientific side that tells us, like, it's actually true. Like, if you don't use it and you put action to it right away, like, you'll lose it. It'll go. And you'll have to get back in there and listen to it again and receive revelation and then, you know. But you have an opportunity every time you're at church, every time you're under the Word, every time you're under teaching, you know, and you learn something new, you have an opportunity to apply it and to actually make it yours. It's almost as if it's available, now you know it, but it's not yours until you do something with it. Amen? All right, so let's get into the Word today. I feel like if I breathe too hard, it's like, hope it's not distracting. All right. Okay. We're going to go to, well, I have a lot of scriptures to read, so actually we're going to wait and then I'll tell you where to go, okay? Today I want to talk about one of my favorite subjects, which is the heart. You know, the Bible tells us to guard our hearts with all diligence, for from it flow all the issues of life. Anybody has issues? You know where those come from? Your own heart. Which tells me that if I cultivate my heart according to the Word of God, I can take care of most of the issues of my life, or all the issues of my life, all the issues that I have. It's in my heart. Good ones and bad ones that comes out of my heart. My heart is like soil, you know, and that soil is going to produce whatever I put inside of it. You know, when I was, it was probably about 7, going on 8 years ago, I was, me and Kara were in a place in our life where we got hurt by our pastors. You know, we got hurt by, you know, people that were our spiritual leaders. And, you know, that stuff happens. We took offense, you know, we thought we were mistreated. Things happen. And now I had an offense in my heart. And so I forgave him because I'm a pastor and I'm a Christian. And I know that's the right thing to do, right? Anybody knows that, right? Where the Bible clearly tells us, like, we need to forgive people. Like, we can't hold offense. We can't hold grudges. Why? Because it's not good for us, right? And so I forgave, but then I ran into them like a year later. And they were right there, and I went like this. And I was like, later on, I'm like, God, I forgave him already, right? Like, I forgave him. Why did I do that? And so I started this journey with the Holy Spirit to understand what was going on in my heart, because I chose to, we know forgiveness is a choice, right? You know, it's not something you have to feel, and then when I feel like it, or if they ask for forgiveness and they bring me, you know, a gift and they really, really apologize and cry, then I'll forgive them. No. Like, we are supposed to forgive people that are not even in our lives anymore, and people that maybe are even dead. Why? Because it's about our heart, right? In Romans chapter 12, I'm going to read a few scriptures. Romans 12, 17 and through verse 21, it says, "Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peacefully with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." Right? Not us. It's God's business. He wants us to just leave it in his hands. "To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Right? So even if people are still evil and hurting other people, right, our only job is to forgive them. Matthew 5:44 says, "But I say to you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you." It's a little hard. But we're not called to do the easy thing. We're called to do impossible things. Ephesians 4:31 and 32 says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another." Forgiving one another, and then I love this part, "as God in Christ forgave you." How did he forgive us? He forgave us fully, right? Completely, like 100%. Is anybody here not 100% forgiven by God? Does anybody have a balance still that trying to work for, like, I'm 95% there. I just got to go to church 5 more times and he'll forgive me 100. No, right? Like, you repent and the blood of Jesus washes you of all your sins. It doesn't matter how bad they were. How do I know this? Paul was a murderer, not of bad people, not even like Batman, right? He was a murderer of Christians. And in one moment, one encounter with God, right? He repented and he was forgiven, and he was so trusted that he even wrote, like, most of the New Testament. So that's crazy. So we're forgiven 100%. So right here is telling us, hey, forgive one another as God in Christ forgave you. Ooh. I'm like, sometimes you almost wish he hadn't forgiven you all so that you can also withhold forgiveness from others, you know? But he forgave us 100%. So how much do we need to forgive one another? 100%. This is Mark 11:25 says, Mark 11:25 says, and whenever you stand praying, forgive. We pray a lot. Like, we pray all the time. What is praying? Praying is talking with God, right? Having a conversation with him, communion with him. So every time you present yourself before God, every time you're talking with God, saying, forgive. So in other words, it's a constant check. Why is it a constant check? You know, like she was saying, you know, she has a garden, right? And what kind of peppers were those? Green chilies? Green chilies, man. And I'm going to tell you something. The devil has to pay you 7 times those green chilies. He stole them. He stole them. 7 times more. What was I saying? I'm like, green chilies. Ooh, enchiladas. Ooh, salsa. Chips. Gardening, right? But in gardening, as she might know, and I have seen, because I don't garden, but I've seen, right? You have to constantly cultivate. Is that right? You have to constantly. As a matter of fact, my aunt and uncle, they live in Colorado. They had a garden. Last year, when we went to their house, they had a garden. And they had to build a fence around the garden because deer would come and eat their stuff. Well, this year, they don't have a garden anymore. It's like, yeah, we gave up. Like, the deer started jumping over. So you have to constantly guard, protect, cultivate, pull weeds out, right, of your garden. So in the same way, you know, Lord is telling us every time we pray, it's like, just check your heart because you constantly need to cultivate your heart. You always need to guard, protect. Youth always need to guard, protect, right? And because everything we hear, everything we see is a seed, right? Every thought is a seed into the heart. And majority wins. Majority rules. You know, last year I told people, a lot of them didn't like this. I said, if you are in anxiety or fear over this pandemic, and you hear, and you, if you listen to the media more than the Word of God, your anxiety is self-inflicted. A lot of people didn't like that. All right, you do it to yourself because your thoughts, what you watch, what you hear, it's seeds to your heart. So, you know, you constantly have to be cultivating your heart. Protect it because from it flow all the issues of life, good or bad. You attract, you repel, you sabotage, you know, all kinds of things into your life. And so God is saying, like, hey, offense is not good for your heart. It's really, really bad. It'll hurt you. So every time you pray, forgive. Check your heart. If you have anything against anybody, check your heart. It says in Matthew 6:14 and 15, it says, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's intense. Like, that's pretty clear, right? Did we read it again? If we don't forgive, he won't forgive us. Like, I want you to know something. Here's the important thing about this. That's how important this subject is to God. You've probably read also the parable of the, you know, of the master that forgave someone a huge debt. And then that someone that had been forgiven a huge debt went and threw somebody into prison for a very small debt. That was not good. The master was really, really angry. Why? Because he said, hey, I forgave you a huge debt, something you could never pay in your whole life, and you go and you throw somebody into prison for $10? Like, that's not okay with me. That's what God is saying, because the price he paid for Jesus was just a tremendous price, right? Like, it was the life of his son that costed you know, salvation for all humanity. And so he takes it really, really serious. Matthew 5:43 says, "You have heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes the sun, his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same?" He's saying, we've experienced grace, you know, in an amazing way. And the Bible says, you receive from grace, give that same grace. We received it. It's ours. We couldn't do it without it. There's no other way to salvation except through the grace of God. We can't live with it, without it. So therefore now, it's saying, give that same grace, you know, of what was given to you. But yet, it becomes so hard so many times, because we hold on to these grudges, you know, like it's our ticket to heaven. It's not. It's pride. It's pride that says, until I see them pay for this, until I see justice. And what did God say? Said, hey, justice is mine. Vengeance is mine. Let me tell you something. The vengeance of the Lord looks a lot different than we think. I don't even think I have time for that. Oh, maybe I do have time. The vengeance of the Lord looks very, very different than we think. You know, we think, the vengeance of the Lord, he'll go, smite them. You know, the vengeance of the Lord actually is when he takes what the enemy meant for evil and he turns it for good. Vengeance of the Lord is the Apostle Paul's life. I know sometimes there's people we would love to see suffer and pay for what they've done to us and other people. It's like, it's human, right? But it doesn't mean it's right, and it doesn't mean it's God's plan either. Like, if you lived in those days, you would have thought, oh, I can't wait for that soul to just, like, burn in hell. Right? Especially if you were close to those that he killed. I'm pretty sure he was overseeing Stephen's stoning. That's intense right there, right? And then, that's what I'm saying. That's the vengeance of the Lord. He takes, you know, what the enemy thought he had is with it, he turns it around and he goes, redeemed, boom. He takes something horrible in your life, he's the redeemer, and he turns it around. When we put it in his hand, when we forgive, we let it go from us and we give it to him. As long as we're holding on to it, God can't do anything with it. You got to release that, give it to God, forgive, heal your heart, and then he'll take it and turn it into something beautiful. That's why he's saying, you know, vengeance is mine, you got to let go. You go, or you let it go outside the door and you pick it up back on your way out. Like, no. Forgiveness, when granted to others, becomes a gift to myself. You want to write that down. Forgiveness, when granted to others, becomes a gift to myself. Happiness has to do with peace. When you're not at peace with God, with yourself, or with others, because you have an offense, it's really hard to experience happiness. We all like to feel happy, right? But it's a byproduct of peace. When you have peace, then you're happy. Now, what about when your spouse is, like, kind of mad at you, or you kind of got in a little intense discussion with your spouse? You're not all happy. You're kind of like, I don't know how it is for women, But I know for man, we can't do a thing. Like, if my wife is mad at me or I just had an argument with her, I can't even tie my shoes. I'm like, I can't go on with life. It just feels like I can't move, like I've been paralyzed, you know? I'm not happy because there's no peace between us. You're going against what God has told you to do, no peace. And so, again, it goes back to our heart, right? In order to experience happiness, you know, it has to do with peace. We need to be at peace with God, with others, and with ourselves. Many times I've heard it say, forgiveness is a long process. It comes in layers. It's like an onion, you know. And I believe forgiveness starts with a choice, not a feeling. Okay? It starts with a decision to forgive, where you actually articulate it before God. God, I forgive this person and I choose to let go. And you pray that, okay? But a lot of times you will experience what I experienced when I said I forgave them, but then I ran into them and I ran the other way. So, how many of you have ever experienced something similar to that? Right? You're like, yeah, I forgave them. I know it's the right thing to do, right? We're past that. I let it go. I know it's not good for me, but I see them and or I hear about them or somebody brings them up in conversation and I go, and I run away, right? I get sick to my stomach just to hear about that, or them, or that group. Can anybody identify with that? Right? So how do we get rid of that? How do we get rid of that? Okay, and that's what I'm going to teach you right now in the next 15 minutes we have left, okay? So if you've chosen to forgive, here's the next thing. Forgiveness is par. You know what par means? Like when you golf and like you didn't do great, you just did par. It's just the standard, right? I mean, yes, I would brag about, you know, parring on a golf course because that's how bad I am. But you know, like you don't brag about the standard, right? We brag about things that are above the standard. You don't go, look, I got McDonald's today. Like, no, nobody brags about, you know. We brag about, look, I'm having a kale salad and a kale shake and an organic, right? Like, it's above par, okay? So forgiveness is par. Forgiveness is the standard, okay? That's like the minimum that you're required by God to do because you received his forgiveness. He's like, all right, because of that, now you're going to return that, you know, with all these other smaller offenses in comparison to your whole life of sin, you know, and you're going to now forgive others, okay? So forgiveness is par. Did you know that 75 to 98% of mental, physical, and behavioral illnesses come from one's thought life? 75 to 98% of mental illness, physical illness, and behavioral illness comes from your thought life. Meaning that only 2 to 25% come from environment and genes. COVID. So most of it comes from our thoughts. Or, studies wouldn't say this, from the heart. Unforgiveness, bitterness, anger, grudges, all this stuff will produce, with time, mental, behavioral, and physical illnesses in your body. Isn't that crazy? Have you heard of the word shalom, right? It's one of the words used for peace in the Bible, right? Shalom, peace, means to bring order where there's chaos, okay? Say with me, shalom is to bring peace where there's chaos. Come on, say that. Okay? So shalom is not just the way some people greet. You know, the shalom of God brings peace and order where there's chaos. When there's mental, physical, or behavioral illnesses in your body, it's the result of chaos in your mind, body, emotions, right? So when the shalom of God comes and reigns in you, it starts bringing what? Which is order where there's chaos. Okay? When we forgive, okay, we're deciding to start on that path and say, okay, you know, this is not good for me. This is not God's order for me. This grudge, this anger, this bitterness is causing me anxiety, sickness, pain, you know, all this stuff. So I'm choosing to let it go. But that's just the beginning, okay? So I want you to track with me because this is going to lead us to where we're headed in a few minutes, okay? So the peace of God brings order where there's chaos, okay? The shalom of God brings order where there's chaos. Peace brings healing to your heart, to your thoughts, consequently to your body, to your emotions, okay? Go with me to Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to go to verse 8. This is our last scripture for today. Are you learning something?
Yeah.
Okay. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Okay. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, say with me, true. Whatever is noble, say noble. Whatever is right. Whatever is pure. Whatever is lovely. Whatever is admirable. If anything excellent. If anything is praiseworthy. Okay, so that's eight things right there. All good things. All positive things, that if there's anything of this, then think on these things. Think on these things. You know, it's amazing he had to tell us, think on the good, not on the bad. Because, you know, we have about 40,000 plus thoughts a day. About 80%. Are negative, and most of them are the same ones we had the day before. Paul knew we have to be told, think on these things. Why? Because I told you, even science is discovering, right? Up to 98% of mental, physical, behavioral illnesses comes from your thoughts. So if you have unforgiveness and anger and bitterness towards 20, 30, 40 different people you don't even remember about anymore, what are you cultivating inside of you that at some point could just cause all kinds of issues? I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to make you aware. We're responsible for this stuff, right? And so God is telling us right here, it's like, think on these things, and then watch this. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen me, put it into practice. And the God of peace, say with me, peace. See, after doing these things, after putting our thought life in order, it says, then the God of peace will be with you. Forgiveness, when granted to others, becomes a gift to myself. This is what happened to me. I would run into these people. I would hear about these people. And immediately, my day would be ruined. You know, I'd be trying to hold my tongue back and saying, because I was so, I'm like, if you knew what they did to me, I'll tell you what they did to me, you know. And I forgave them. I chose. I said it. I prayed. But people told me it's a process. It's a long process. You know, it'll take time. Time will heal. I'm like, God, uh-uh. There's got to be a way to accelerate this healing because you're a God that can heal in an instant. So therefore, you probably have something in your word that requires my cooperation to get this done quick because I don't like living like this. I don't like going to a restaurant and having to leave because I don't feel comfortable because they're there. I don't like that. And so nobody likes that, right? I mean, and this is a smaller town. Like, gosh, why don't we have milk? She's been at the grocery store for 3 days in a row. Every time I go, I have to leave. Yeah. And so the Lord led me to this, Philippians 4:8, and he showed me, he said, when you put your thought life in order, peace starts working inside of you. And if peace brings chaos into order, then that means that peace is healing physically, emotionally, and mentally. You know, cancer is the body and the cells in chaos, right? But when we experience healing, we experience the peace of God that is bringing order where there's chaos. Okay? When you have negative thoughts in your brain, if you were to take a picture of the negative thoughts in your brain, it looks like a dark cloud. This is neuroscience, okay? And there's a whole lot more, but we don't have time for that. And when you have these kind of thoughts, Philippians 4:8 thoughts, it looks like a nice, healthy tree. Okay? So every thought is contributing to either darker clouds or healthy trees in your brain and producing results accordingly. And so the Lord said to me, you need to apply this to forgiveness because what I experience, I decided to forgive, but what I experience when I run into them or hear about them is a wound that it hasn't healed yet, that is still painful. And the healing process, you know, you can start healing, but sometimes it doesn't happen instantly, right? Like my leg, it was in April, and God's healing my leg, right? And I'm thankful for so many things because I could have lost my leg, but he's healing it. He's making it stronger every day. Every day is better. And so God said, like, if you want to accelerate healing of your heart so that you no longer run away when you see them, this is what you need to do about them. And I was like, wait. What do you mean? And I remember sitting in my living room. It was like 5 in the morning. He's like, yep, you are going to think about that person you already forgave, and you're going to think on what is true. I'm like, oh, I'll tell you what is true about them. Nah. He's like, no. What is true about them, how I see them, what is honorable about them, what is right about them, what is pure about them, what is lovely. There's nothing lovely about them. Lord's like, yeah, there is. And admirable. And you're going to think about those things that are excellent and praiseworthy about them that hurt you and you already forgave. Because then the peace of God will be with you. I was like, oh. I'm like, all right, let's test this, God. And so I sit in my living room. And I'm telling you, this probably takes about 12 minutes. I sit in my living room. And I start meditating about the 10 years of history that I had with them. And guess what? Here's another thing. Man, I'm running out of time quick. We all know what a ditch is, right? Okay, so when you're hurt by someone, in your brain, physically, it's like a gash, like a ditch happens. Okay? Therefore, that explains why every time their name is brought up, the only thing you could think about is the ditch. You go on the ditch and you can't get out of it. And it's the bad, the negative. It could have been one of, you know, 10 years or a lifetime of good things, but the one thing you're going to remember is that one. So that is what needs to get healed, even physiologically inside your brain, which happens through neuroplasticity, which is your thoughts. Your thoughts change, actually reshape your brain. And so God is showing me, he's like, when I'm sitting there and I'm trying to think about the good, the trustworthy, the praiseworthy, the honorable, the lovely things about them, what happens immediately is my brain goes to the ditch. And that's why the Bible says, capture your thoughts and bring them to the obedience of Christ. Because if not, they run rampant. You're gone. And so I had to capture my thoughts. And it was an exercise. I was like, okay, I remember this good thing, this good thing, this. And I remember how they yelled at me. And I'm like, nope, no, no, no. But they taught me good things about marriage. They taught me good things about finance. They taught me good things. They gave me an opportunity. They gave me a platform. They allowed me to do this. Da, 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 da. They loved me. They prayed for me. They counseled me. They did this. Right? And guess what? Within 12 minutes, I'm sitting there. I'm crying. And I feel the Holy Spirit just like, it was like a tangible, I felt like I was inside a cloud. It was like the glory of God was so heavy. It comes in me right there on my couch. It's like, poof, I feel the glory of God. And it was as if God had taken an eraser and started erasing that wound. And as if it was gone completely. And as I could feel the ditch in my brain getting healed. And after that time, done. Like, it might take you a few more times. Depends on the offense. Depends on the abuse. Depends on the stuff. But the Lord showed me this does not have to be for years. And you don't have to live like this. And you can be healed from this. And it could no longer have a hold on you if you can only allow this to happen in you about them. And so doing that exercise, here's what happened. Josh, can you come play? Here's what happened. I started doing the exercise. I finished. I felt the glory of God. And God, it's like God highlighted that. See, when you do this, the peace of God comes. And the peace of God heals. And your thoughts are changed. Your brain is healed. And so I'm like, okay, at some point, we're going to have to test this. And in my heart, I knew. I was thinking of him. And the predominant thoughts were no longer the ditch. Watch, the predominant thoughts were no longer what was in the ditch before. All the good thing now was more powerful than the one offense. And you might say, well, but this was not one offense. This was 10 years of abuse. Yes. So you keep doing that. But it works. And this is what I call supernatural healing of the heart. It might take you 2 days. It might take you 5 days. It might take you 21 days. I don't know. It depends on you. But I guarantee you, not only it works, but it's supernatural. And you're going to feel the presence of God. So here's what happened. I'm at a restaurant. I'm having breakfast. I get up, walking towards the bathroom, and they're right there on that table. And my initial reaction was this. And before I took another step, Holy Spirit's like, don't you remember? I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm good. I'm okay. I go to them, I say, hi, how you guys doing? I give them a big hug. It was a sincere hug. You know when you have to say hello to someone you're not okay with? It's like, hi, how you doing? You know, no, this was sincere, right? Because my thoughts were no longer going to the offense. My thoughts were going to the gratefulness because of all the good, admirable, excellent, lovely things that were praiseworthy about them. God created them. Hurt people hurt people. We're humans. Whole people heal people. And I become whole. The craziest thing happens. They start apologizing to me. I was like, that's crazy. The pastors of a mega church, you know, it's been years, you know, and they're right there. And I didn't say anything. I just, how are you guys doing? It's so good to see you, you know. And then they go, Ben, we're so sorry. I'm like, God, this wasn't even necessary. But then there was restoration. So I go back the next day. I'm like, God, this is amazing. This works, you know. This is, like, it feels so good, you know? I asked the Holy Spirit, I said, Holy Spirit, who else do I need to heal my heart from? I've chosen to forgive them, but who else? And I, you know, and the next person. And this was a friend. And this friend had stolen money. He stole $5,000 from me. And it was just like nothing. Like, he was like, oh, well. And I'm like, and the friendship was gone. So I chose to forgive him. But yet, you know, I couldn't hear his name. I couldn't. And so I'm sitting there in my living room now. I'm doing this thing. I'm like, all right, God. And I've started thinking about all the good times that we had, all the laughs that we had together, all the times he helped me move, which was a lot of times. Because every time we had a kid and we have five, we moved houses. And so I started thinking about those things. And guess what? Before 15 minutes time, I feel the glory of God comes, heals my heart. I no longer have any negative feelings towards him. It's just money. Lord will replace it, you know, and I'm good. And guess what happens? I know you're going to be scared doing this, but we're going to do it right now. I ran into him. All of a sudden, I'm at a restaurant with somebody doing some counseling, and the waiter comes like, your bill's paid. I'm like, what? Who paid my bill? He's like, that guy walking on the parking lot. I'm like, oh, no. It's him. I run out. He's with his dad. His father had come back from Colorado because he had a medical situation going on. I say, thanks. We just hugged and cried. His dad is right there. His dad is, he's sick. He's gone to the hospital. I pray for him. He goes back to the hospital. He's completely healed. Doctors can't even explain it. That's the vengeance of the Lord. And you're like, maybe you said like, I'm not going to do this. I don't want to run into them, and I certainly don't want to be friends with them. Let me tell you, you don't have to, okay? And I'm not best friends with him either. But my heart is no longer wounded. My heart is healed, completely healed. And I go up to him every time and give him a big hug. Sincerely, you know? So I do know that for some people this might be harder. But I just want you to close your eyes for a moment. And I just want to give you, you know, a minute to do this. And maybe there's a list of people that you've forgiven, but you don't feel comfortable seeing, talking, or hearing about, or even running into them. You know, and so I'm just going to encourage you right now, start with one. Just pick one. Pick one person. Just pick one person. We're responsible to cultivate our hearts. And he is so faithful. So faithful. Maybe it's an ex-spouse. Maybe someone who betrayed you. Maybe it's a business partner. Maybe it's a spiritual leader. And if you haven't forgiven them, you could just decide right now and say, God, I forgive this person. I let him go. I'm going to cultivate my heart. It doesn't make them right. It makes me whole. Listen, forgiving somebody does not make them right. It makes you whole. Maybe it's a father, maybe it's a mother, maybe it's someone who abandoned you, maybe it's somebody, you know, who betrayed you. Maybe it's a friend who you thought it was a friend and they were not a good friend. I don't know who it is, but Holy Spirit knows. So just right now, just forgive them. And I want you to say, Holy Spirit, I want to experience healing in my heart. I don't want to cultivate unforgiveness. I don't want to cultivate bitterness about the situation, about the offense. And so I choose to think on these things. And so as I read this, I want you to think about something related to that, about this person. Something good. Become a miner, somebody that digs the gold in the midst of all the dirt. And so, God, I choose to think and fix my thoughts about this person on what is true, how you see them. what is honorable, because I'm a person of honor. What is right about them? Not everything that is wrong, but what is right about them? What is pure? What is lovely? What is admirable? The things that are to admire about them, their strength, their skills, the good things that they have. I choose to think about the things that are excellent and worthy of praise about them because you created them. I know it could be hard, and I know that your brain is going to the ditch maybe. So capture those thoughts. Say, no, I choose to think about these things. You put it in practice. Yeah, it might be a little hard. You might be going to the ditch. Bring it back. Don't be afraid. Don't be scared. This does not mean they have to be in your life at all. This is for you. Stay with it, stay with it, stay with it. Don't let anything distract you right now. You're experiencing something powerful. It's a lot easier to honor somebody too, especially if they're still in your life, when you choose to think this way. Stay with it, stay with it. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. And worthy is your name. Now, with your eyes closed, I'm going to ask you, if you're feeling the presence of God just healing in your mind and in your heart, would you just raise your hand? Wow. Oh, wow. Wow, wow. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You're healing. Healing, you're healing, you're healing, you're restoring. You're bringing peace and order where there's chaos. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you for revelation. Thank you, we will be people of action. Put action to your word. People of honor. Thank you for your forgiveness to us, God. Thank you for empowering us to forgive others. And thank you for teaching us we don't have to live with this pain, with this bitterness, with this discomfort, God. Thank you, God, that you're healing hearts, you're restoring peace and order where there's been chaos. And we just speak right now to any repercussions of years of bitterness and this and offense and this stuff. And we just command those effects, negative effects, render and void and null in Jesus' name. And we just command restoration to your mind, to your body, to your heart in Jesus' name. We say no more pain. We say no more hurt, no more bitterness, no more unforgiveness in Jesus' name. I thank you. You've created us and you've made us powerful children of God. And that we will not be victims of the people that offended us in the past. And I thank you and I ask the Holy Spirit that you continue to teach us how to cultivate our heart every day. Every day. In Jesus' name, amen.